And our heart is filled with tears. This one today, because we're asking people to be open to Jesus and to his presence in their lives. And we have people with us today, Tony, who have had unusual experiences, personal kind of experiences. And when we share that kind of thing, we say to people, these are personal experiences, and you make of them what you want. We make no claims that God is the person, but you'd be stupid not to believe it.
But like St. Paul, they are personal experiences. They are experiences of conversion. And so you decide, but you'll hear their stories.
And you know, we have visual, we have musical, and we have verbal. And that's going to be kind of hard to do. But with God,
we can do it, Dr.
Palmer. Anything's impossible.
Jesus is on our side, and with Jesus on our side, we can do anything.
You better believe it, buddy. Okay, how about having our first couple introduce themselves? We're doing it a little different this week. We're not going to have a free-for-all talk. We're going to have sharings, and we're going to spend time with each person carefully, slowly. But before we get to them, let's introduce them first, huh? Introduce yourselves. Phyllis, Lenny?
I'm Phyllis Massey, and this is my husband.
Lenny. And they are so dear friends of mine. I love them both.
And they're going to talk about you. And we're going to talk about an experience they had that was really quite special. But Trevor, we're going to go into that song because it kind of sets the background for what happened to Lenny and to Phyllis.
Yeah.
And it's God telling them, you are mine. Mark Forrest singing. And he made it clear to you, Lenny, you are his.
A voice came from the cloud. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen.
I am
soul. And that's his word. He loves us, and we are his. All we need to do is to go to him. He has his arms open, waiting for us, like he did, Lenny.
Phyllis, supposing you give us a little background, and then we'll let Lenny talk. I understand Lenny can talk for 4 hours on this.
And I want to warn you, sometimes I cry, so if you see a few tears coming to my eyes, you know what the story is.
Go ahead, Phyllis.
It was 1992 in March. My sister, Marcy Papora, asked me to go to Scottsdale, Arizona, at St. Marie Goretti Church, to hear a Father Jack Spaulding. Father Jack Spaulding had been to Medjugorje doubting the visions. But while he was walking through the field, a woman's voice said to him, "My son, you will walk by faith, not by sight." And he looked around, and he was in this big open field, and the voice was right next to him. And she said it again, "My son, you will walk by faith, not by sight." When he got back to the United States, he had taken a few young adults with him. While during confessions, six young adults, not knowing each other, came in and told him, "Father, I think I'm going crazy. The Blessed Mother is speaking to me." And he says, "Look, don't say anything. Let this just go by. And, you know, just come tell me if she speaks to you again." Father Spaulding, during his masses, started going to ecstasy, and during his homily, a feminine voice or a masculine voice would come out. It was either a message from Jesus or Mary.
And all of these are just assumed. You know, we're not 100% sure. They're not validated. I just have to point that in for the listeners. We got to discern that. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Sister Marcy had asked me, she said, "Would you like to go and see this Father Spaulding?" I said, "Oh, yes." I said, "I would." And I told Lenny, my husband. He says, "What, are you kidding me?" He says, "That's ridiculous." He says, "If you want to go, go." I went with Sister Marcy, and on the plane with us was Father Dick. Father Dick had had a stroke, but he was recuperating, and he had been a math teacher, too. And he couldn't remember his homilies, he couldn't remember to teach the kids, and he told Sister Marcy on the plane he was thinking of leaving the priesthood. Well, we get to Scottsdale, and Father Jack went into ecstasy, and it was a message from the Virgin Mary. A woman sitting, a young girl sitting in front of Father Dick, turns around and gives him a note. Later on, they read the note to us. On the note says, "My son and I love you. Do not give up the priesthood." Well, when I get back to Long Island, I can't wait to tell my husband what happened between Father Jack and Father Dick. He made fun of me. He laughed at me. He says, "Please, don't be telling people to think you're becoming a fanatic. Stop. Stop
right
there.
Nuts.
To think I'm nuts."
Let's be direct.
Yeah, he said worse than that.
I can't believe my Lenny would do that.
I was telling my brother about what happened, and my brother wanted to go. He said, "Lenny, what do you?" He said to me, "Tell Lenny, what do you think if we go to this church and we go to Vegas and you can gamble for 5 days?" He says, "How long are we going to be in Scottsdale?" He says, "One day." He says, "Okay." Thought about it. He says, "Okay." He says, "But I'm not going to church."
Yeah, you told me Lenny used to walk on water. We're a baseball bat in hand.
So now it's June 18th.
I'm sorry, we do break in. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's June 18th. I'm a little nervous anyway.
You're doing fine. You're doing great.
It's June 18th, Sacred Heart of Jesus night. And so we're all going to church, and he says, "I'm not going." He says, You all could go.
Man after my own heart.
Later on, he does decide to come into church. And when Father Jack goes into his ecstasy to tell us, a woman's voice came out and was a message from the Virgin Mary. So I was poking him, and I says, "I know you're not interested, but tell my brother." In the meantime, he was making fun of me, laughing, saying, "Ooh, you know, like, this is like voodoo, come on." He says, "This is ridiculous." And I says, "Please, Virgin, make him stop. I was practically in tears because I wanted to hear this message to get it back to the people that I know.
We'll let Lenny take over from here.
Lenny, tell him what happened.
Tell him what a saint you were.
First of all, she lied. She told me it's only going to be a half-hour mass. And she actually begged me because I don't go to church. Whenever I went with my brother-in-law, his wife, they went, I stood in the room. Anyway, we go to church. I felt sorry for her. She's a good woman, so I give her a break. So I went to church. I figured by half hour, it's not going to kill me. So the mass was over, so I'm getting up. Let's go. She says, wait a while. We got to wait for this Father Jack to come out. He's going to get the message. I says, hey, you says a half hour. Half hour's up. Let's go. So she says, oh, come on, please, please. It's not going to take long. 2 weeks before this, I had gone to Atlantic City, and I won $6,000 on a roulette wheel. So I thought I figured out a method of beating a roulette wheel. And I was waiting for Father Jack to come. I'm thinking of all the places I want to see in Vegas. So Father Jack comes out, and he does one of these things. He spreads out his arms and this and that. And I says, listen, you got to be joking me with this stuff here. So I'm not a quiet person. And, people start looking around, and she says, shh. Anyways, as he's talking, I see this figure coming up behind him, all white. And I know it's the Blessed Mother. And I'm saying to myself, what the, what's going on? Because it's hot in there, there are a lot of people. So I'm looking at it, and it just goes right up into the ceiling and disappears. So she's coming up again. She's in prayer, got her head bowed down. And as she's coming up the second time, I said to myself, what the hell is going on? But anyway, before I even got the word out, she just disappeared. So now I'm looking, I'm paying attention this time as she's coming up again. And I'm saying to myself, what am I cracking up? And my wife is right next to me, and I can't even poke her to tell her, hey, you see what's going on over there? I'm like in a trance. Anyway, she comes up four times, and I'm looking at her, three-dimensional, beautiful features.
That's how hard it was to get your attention.
I'm a thick-headed guy. She came like a white. I can't even explain the white. There isn't a white maid in this world that could duplicate the whiteness that she had on. Anyway, she went up the fourth time, and I'm there in a trance, and I'm going, am I cracking up? And this, listen, I'm the type of guy that I take hold of things, and I take care of my own stuff. He went and he rested for a few minutes, Father Jack. When he got up again, she pops up on top of him, bust size, with a crown, but grayish looking. And as he goes over to the altar, she leaves him, and she goes into a statue that was in St. Marie Goretti. Beautiful statue of her in bronze. Anyway, he started a rosary. I thought I was going to have a stroke. The way he started this rosary, Hail Mary, our Father, it was so slow. I thought he took 3/4 of an hour. I paid no attention to it because I'm thinking of how to improve my roulette wheel. That's all I thought about.
Lenny, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What did you drink before you went into that?
Nothing. I don't drink. I'm a bar owner, but I don't drink.
But it's important for listeners to know what kind of a guy you are. You're a straightforward guy who didn't want to take any garbage from anything.
Right. No, I listen.
You're not a holy roller.
I didn't take no garbage.
He owned the bar, and he walked around with a baseball bat. Need I say more?
And you're not a holy roller. I want people to know that. This was so far from you.
Well, let me tell you when Jesus came looking for me, he didn't find me in church. He found me in a cesspool, and I wasn't floating on top. I was on the bottom. He had a dick for me. My wife wasn't allowed to have a crucifix in our house. She wasn't allowed to have religious people in our house. I was a pain in the neck, and I ain't easy to get along with. How she stuck it out with me is either she's nuts or I'm a great guy for some reason or other. But
We didn't answer.
Anyway, at the end of the mass, as we're walking out, I asked my wife, I said, did you see anything on that altar? She, when Father Jack first started, there was like a glow over his head, what do you call that circle? Halo. And it was like all the needles. So she says, I saw that. I says, I saw that too. She says, what else did you say? I says, I saw the Blessed Mother. She says, what did she say? I said, she didn't say nothing. So now we're going out. And she says, oh, let's tell my brother. I said, listen, don't be telling nobody. I had a nice reputation, and I didn't want it messed up. And you'd start telling people I saw the Blessed Mother, they'd forget about it. And I didn't want that known.
And I'm a psychologist.
So anyway, we go out and we say goodnight to Father Jack, and she's begging me. They're walking in front of me, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. She's begging me, please, my brother. She's a Eucharistic minister, and my sister-in-law, and the brother's always in church, good guy. So I says, all right. So we went to a diner, and I'm telling him my story. And I told him what happened. As I'm telling my story, I got a big lump in my throat that was choking me. I said, listen, that's it. I'm not saying anymore. So we broke up. We went to bed. I didn't sleep all night long. Got up in the morning, and I said to myself, to my wife, I said, listen, I got to go see this Father Jack and find out what the hell happened to me, because I can't believe this happened to me. So she says, all right. So we went back. So we went into the office. He wasn't there. They said he was busy. Go faster. You want me to go faster? You tell me when to stop.
Keep going. I'm just telling you, go faster.
Go faster, okay. So anyway, we got into the office. They said he's not there. So Sister Marcy was leaving that day to go to Medjugorje. So my wife said, let's go say a prayer for her. So they went inside, I was inside, they were praying, and I'm watching this guy come, and he's lighting the lights. So my wife says, that looks like Father Jack. So naturally, she goes to chase him, and he's walking out. So we went outside, and there's Father Jack. I went over to him. I says, hey, listen, Father Jack. I says, these people are religious. I'm not. Why would the Blessed Mother come to me? He says, well, you needed it. Thank him. It's a gift.
I thought of another answer. Jesus was afraid of the baseball bats. He sent his mother.
No.
Lenny, we're going to have to move on.
I know.
But your story is phenomenal. And the listeners, this is what Lenny experienced. You can believe it or not. We do not ascribe anything to this other than it changed his life.
And I just have one quick question. How did it change your life, Lenny? Why? What did you do that your life was changed? Did you get rid of your bar? Did you stop banging people over the head with your bat? What did you do?
Well, I did get rid of my businesses. I had three of them. And my wife now cries that there are too many crucifixes and too many religious things in the house, because I have them in every room in the house. I've got one room dedicated to Jesus. It's a bedroom, and it looks busier than a church in there with the statues and stuff. And I do minister to people. I do, like I've told my story to Techie's group many times.
That's Techie Joe Nietzsche, who does the prayer group.
Yeah, and the first time, well, this is a long story. I haven't got
so we don't have to finish the whole story.
But the first time I can't even say this. I do
quickly say it. Tell us.
When we went to a church, St. Catherine, there's a statue of the Blessed Mother all in white. And that's the church we go to. I found the card, St. Gertrude Prayer. I hate to tell you how many of these cards I had printed up. I've sent them to the Philippines by Dr. Teresa. I passed hundreds of thousands of these out. And this is what I do. I minister. I don't care if it's one person or 100 people. I'll tell my story. And I have helped people. And I don't do it so much for them as I do for myself, because I'm looking to get to heaven. Now, this happened in St. Marie Goretti's church. Now, she's known for conversions of the heart. And something about Marie Goretti, she's born in Italy. I'm born in Italy. Her birthday is October 16th. My birthday is October 16th. And her parents lost a child months after birth, so did my parents.
Okay, now what else you guys want
to say? Okay, listen, you know what, rather than go to the Saints, we'll go to the Saints in just a minute. We have a second person. We can go right into our second person.
Yeah, and then we've got both in, and then we'll do the Saints.
Yeah, because we had one. This is a visual experience that you had. Now we have John Clancy. And John, move up to the mic a bit, and we're going to have a song.
Chair, John.
I can see that.
John is a wonderful man, a musician, and an artist. And just a wonderful leader of a prayer group, Spirit Life Center prayer group. And you've been doing it for years. And then we get you to talk first, because we're going to run out of time. Are you a big talker, too?
No, I can be very quick.
No. Take your time. And Lenny, you're wonderful. And Phyllis, thank you.
Well, my name is John Clancy. I'm with Spirit Life, too. Let me tell you how my journey started playing music, because that's one of the gifts that God has given me. I woke up one day, I was playing my guitar, I looked up at the sky, and I said, Father, I'm ready to give back to you. I said, but here's the conditions, which I said, I'm not going to call a church, I'm not going to call anybody. So if you want me to really play music for you, I will devotedly do it. But you have to show me when and where. Well, lo and behold, my wife says, let's go to church in Plainview. Now, I live in Suffolk County, so I'm going like, we gotta go to church in Plainview? What, are you crazy? This is like a long way to go. And she says, I wanted to go to a charismatic mass, which I didn't know what that was, so I said, all right, well, let's go. I head down there with her. We go to the mass. It was very nice. Met a father, Bob McGuire. Mm-hmm. He had a cafe right after the mass. So for $3, you got yourself a spaghetti dinner. I said, this is great. Let's go to that. She goes, people will be talking about Jesus there. I said, well, I think I can deal with that. Sure enough, they were. And then they had a charismatic prayer meeting. She goes, would you like to go to that? I go, what is that? She says, well, it's people that receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said, that sounds interesting. I'll go to that. So I go there, and the music they're playing was very upbeat, and then it went into a lot of worship music. And I was like, wow, this is so good. It's different. It's different than the music you normally hear at church. And people fell into the spirit, and I was kind of taken back by that because I never saw that before.
They rested.
They were resting in the spirit. She says, well, I said, this is a Catholic church? I was totally amazed. Anyways, after the meeting was over, the person playing the guitar sees a pin I was wearing on my collar, and that was a pin, and that was a guitar. And he says to me, do you play guitar? I said, yes, I do. He goes, I've been praying for another guitar player to join me here. So bada bing, I ended up there.
That's called a holy setup, John.
It was a holy setup. So moving on, I'm going to talk about some of the experiences that I've had, particularly one. And a lot of the music that I do and have written deals with faith, trust, and devotion. I had a business that was faltering at one point. I mean, really going down. I prayed, I meditated, and I got the thought in my mind, don't worry about it. Everything will be taken care of. I thought that was Jesus talking to me saying, don't worry. Everything will be taken care of. I end up going to work the next day, and my secretaries go, are you going to make any phone calls? We need to get business in here. I said, no. Everything is taken care of. No problem. They thought I was out of my mind.
Go ahead.
Anyways.
Excuse me. John's used to working with me. He knows I interrupt.
That's right.
Just listen over. Is he interrupting me or can I keep going?
Keep going. Tell him everything's taken care of. Everything's taken care of. So I go back the next day. We actually, it was a holiday. It was a president's birthday and we had the day off. I wake up that day and the birds are chirping outside and I get the thought in my mind now to lean on me. I thought it was Jesus saying, you need to lean on me. So I said, wow. Then I started getting this music, this really kind of bluesy. And I was taken back by that because it was such a nice day. It took me all day to write this song because words were flowing through me that I kept just writing all this down. I went, you know something? I'm not even supposed to sing here. I'm just supposed to speak this part. 5 o'clock rolls around, I get a phone call from a person that worked with another business down the block from me saying, did you see Channel 12 news? I said, no. Have you been outside and see the big black cloud in the sky? I said, no. He said, turn on Channel 12 news and then get down here. Your business is burning to the ground. I got outside, I almost died. I saw this giant cloud, he said it was an 8-alarm fire. It's an event. There were 200 people there watching it. Turned out the business that was next to me in that particular building, the fire started there and it just continued over into my end. I had to talk to the police, the landlord, everybody. It was devastating. I didn't even know if I had insurance that was paid up. But the insurance people that were there said, yes, you did. So I was thanking God for that. But this is the time where I had to say, well, I need to lean on you. And I ended up changing the words to the song, not to lean on me, but to lean on you. And what I learned from this, John, is it made me stronger in faith, stronger in trust. And a lot of my music, is as I said, is about that, strong in trust and faith. And my wife, at the same time, when I, she wasn't home, by the way, when I got that call. She was driving her car, and she told me later that she felt the sky, the heavens opened up, and she was surrounded by angels. Mm. So it was just another confirmation that Jesus is really with us. And God has a unique way of handling all different situations. It took me years to get back on my feet. It didn't happen overnight. But as I said, it made me stronger and a lot more faith. And carry on.
And you leaned on.
And I leaned on. And I'd like you to hear this song right now, if we could pop it on.
nobody there. Nobody to be
your eyes like
John, thank you.
That was beautiful,
thank
John.
Thank you, John.
And it exemplifies our mission statement, by the way, John, that Jesus wants to be involved in all parts of our lives, not only just the church. He wants to come home with us. He wants to be involved in our business life, our personal life. And he wants to help us. And he's there with his arms open, waiting for us to come to him.
And you really, really, really set up the praying for people that we do as part of the show, the praying for healing. Gotta lean on him. St. Paul was a person just like Lenny. He was, well, maybe worse than Lenny. He was crucifying.
Don't steal my thunder,
I'll try not to.
Okay,
so Paul is going to be our saint of the day. We're going to do it without music because we can't. Poor Trevor will pull his hair out.
Okay. Actually, St. Paul was chosen weeks and weeks ago. And just like all the other parts of our shows, when we do the saints, it fits in so perfectly with our guest.
Yeah.
And St. Paul fits in so perfectly, not only with our guest, but with tomorrow's readings, tomorrow's gospel. Lenny, St. Paul reminded me so much of you. It all started with St. Paul in the year 35 AD. When he witnessed the stoning of St. Stephen. And that excited him so much that he decided he was going to go out and he was going to give the Christians, the converts, a hard time. And he did. And anyone that believed in Jesus, anyone that spoke about Jesus, he went after them. He got permission from the Roman Empire to go into their houses and to drag them out of their houses. And he persecuted Jesus. And he was going to Damascus one day and all of a sudden, a stream of lightning or the sky lit up and scared his horse and knocked him off his horse. And he says, "What's going on here?" And Jesus says, "I am Jesus, whom you prosecute. Now get up and go to Damascus. You'll be told what to do." And he was with a party, and so when he got up, he couldn't see. He was blind. But Jesus told him, "Go to Damascus and someone will tell you what to do." And so I'm making this very brief. And when he got there, Jesus had someone go to his house.
Poor Ananias.
And Ananias. Yeah, very good, Dr. Palmer. He had Ananias go to his house.
And he listened because he knew this guy killed Christians and he still
went. Yes, and he went. He was a little afraid, but he went. And he told. And Ananias didn't want to go, but Jesus said to him, "Go, because Paul is praying. He expects you." So he went, put his hands over him, prayed over him, and his eyes were opened up, and he was able to see again. That was his conversion. And from there on, it's history. He just went out to the Damascus, and he started preaching for Jesus. He wrote Gospels. He wrote the most in all the Bible. He's the most written person, and he went there and he just praised and evangelized for Jesus. But
and he was just like us. I remember reading his epistle saying, "Why do I do the things that I know you don't want me to do?" And he talks to God all the time, and God talked to him, and we have to believe that. Because that's sanctioned by the church. These things that we talked about, they may not be sanctioned, but it's still God in our eyes.
His name was Saul, and he became known as Paul the Apostle, and he was one of his apostles that Jesus appeared to when he was resurrected. And it relates so much to the gospel, because in the gospel, when Jesus rose and he was walking, two of his apostles were walking and he joined them, they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was until finally he was going to leave and they invited him to their house for dinner. And Jesus broke the bread and started blessing the bread. And their eyes opened up and their heart opened up and they recognized Jesus. And that's how we are able to recognize Jesus, by opening up our hearts. And I think that's what the gospel is telling us.
Yeah.
So I made it brief, Dr. Palmer.
And you did great. You've done good.
Oh, thank you.
You know, though, I have...
Do I get a raise?
Yes, you do. I give you 10% on top of zero. Over the years, we have another gift sitting in this room. And it's a gift that I receive. And I've been getting meditations, whatever you want to call them, for the past 20 years or more.
so much so that the letters and the words that I receive are up over 20,000 letters. And they're all out on my website, holyspiritwithin.net. I don't usually talk about it, but since this is a day when we're talking about unbelievable things, I can talk about it. And God does touch us. And he touched John with music, and Lenny with an apparition, and Tony with his spirit and his wonderful way of just being so childlike and trusting God. And he gave me words. And I really don't understand why. And I believe that from him. You don't have to believe this if you're listening. You don't have to believe a thing. But I want to share something that he gave me on Divine Mercy Sunday, because I had to give a talk to a group at St. Thomas the Apostle. And like I usually do, I say, I don't have anything to say. What am I going to say? And in prayer that morning, he gave me this. And I'm going to read it, because it kind of ties together again. His answer to Lean on Me, his answer to you when you ask Father Jack, what's going on here? The answer to Paul saying, how come I can't see it? And Ananias, you mean I gotta go and rescue this guy?
And our mission statement.
That's right. And it's nothing new. You know, God's been talking to people for centuries since time began. Look at scripture. He's always talking to people. We just don't listen. Anyway, this is what he gave me on Divine Mercy Sunday. I am mercy. I am love. I am forgiveness. I am truth. I am life eternal in love. I am the way. I am life. I am the light for all to see. I am salvation. I rejoice because you, listeners, you choose my way for you. Lenny, you did that. John, did that. Live out your days with me now. Be not afraid. Listen for me in whatever way I come to you, whether it's music, visions, words, trust, whatever it may be. Live out your days with me. Listen for my voice. I have told my friends, you will know my voice. And we have three examples today of where he came to people differently, according to the unique needs of their personality. I am merciful. I am knowable. I am freedom in your heart. I am Lord of all who listen for me. I am the rejected cornerstone. I am the new foundation of life. I am the joy of your heart. I am forgiveness alive in you. I am peace unbridled in you. I call you to me. Listeners, I call you to me. Listen to my voice in whatever way I speak to you. I speak to your heart. I bless you for your faith in me. I am quite real. I am alive in your being now as you are listening on WGBB. That's me adding it in. I'm alive in your being. Now, should up your ratings, Trevor. Be still. I'm sorry, Jesus. I don't mean to interfere like that. Be still. Be still, listeners. Be still. Let my love touch you now. Let my grace resurrect you now. Let me begin to rearrange your thoughts. Let me teach your heart about my merciful love. Be still. Be still. For
Behold, I make all things new. And he adds, how do you know that what you hear is truly from my sacred heart speaking to your human heart? You don't. You are truly not 100% certain, are you? That's because you have to learn to discern. You have to learn what Lenny learned, to discern and question and ask. What John learned, question, ask, is this really you speaking? For all of you who are listening today, I give you my divining rod. I give you my peace internally as you hear these words. I let you experience my love internally. I touch you with my grace. I imprint my indelible mark on your soul. I send my stillness into your being right now. I quiet your inner voice. You came here to this radio station listening to find me. You don't see me, yet you believe that I'm real and that I'm alive in you. Thus, just for these few moments, I take over your inner stream of consciousness. Place these words in your inner voice. Jesus, I trust in you. Repeat these words in your inner voice again and again until I say stop. Take a moment. Let these words float into your inner voice. Jesus, I trust in you. Say it again and again in your inner voice. And now listen as I say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of thy dearly beloved Son, in atonement for my sins and the sins of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us. And on the whole world, Jesus, I trust in you.
And for those that tuned in a little late, that was Dr. John Palmer sharing some words that he received on Divine Mercy Sunday.
He has more. He's saying more inside of me right now.
Would you like to share those words?
Well, if you'll let me. My friends, you're not crazy. The man who read those words is not crazy. The man who told you about his vision is not crazy. The man who sang a song for you is not crazy. The man who is my sidekick is not crazy. Trevor is not crazy. And these are the words. You all believe in what you do not see. You all come alive when I touch you. You're all set free by my words in you, by my presence in you. And Trevor, on the album that I brought, the very latest cut, would you play that? Believe it or not, it's Celine Dion talking about being alive. And when you are touched by Jesus, you come alive. You come alive.
Go, everybody. Be alive. Lift up your heart. Be alive. Dance with Jesus. Let him take over.
Celine doesn't mind. He doesn't know.
that we're using her song this
week. Come on, John, show us what you learned.
Here we go. Some my dancing lessons are underway. Listen to these words,
but don't sing.
Don't you feel alive when Jesus is around? Don't you, Annie? Hey, Trevor, don't you feel alive when you're in Jesus' presence? You were with 200 men last week, and they were on retreat. They all felt it. I was with 800 men a month ago, and they all felt his love. When we're crazy, folks, we're alive. Be alive.
Let's share that love. Let's share that love with everyone.
And we're going to pray for all the people who have sent the petitions into us. We're praying now, while that song is playing. Praise you, Lord, we thank you. Pray for Liz with the J.R.'s disease. Come alive in her, Lord. Come alive in her. Stop that dizziness. Stop those heart palpitations. Pray for Nathan, a young three-year-old with tumors. Blood clots in his brain. We're praying for all of these people and many more, Lord. Let's pray for Teresa. Marita. Marita's home for surgery this week. We pray for her. Come alive, Lord. Come alive. Come alive in the surgeon's hands.
We give you thanks for all the men.
You heal, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. I pray for a special intention. Okay. We pray and pray and pray. We pray in thanksgiving for Lenny. Thank you, Lenny.
Thank you for your conversion. Thank you for conversion, Blessed Mother.
And you know, you may not see Mary here. She's here. You may not see Jesus here, but he's here. You may not see the Spirit here, but you can feel it in Celine Dion's song. Get alive. Pick up your hearts and let Jesus give you a new life.
We pray for Margarita, that you lift her out of bed, that you let her stop suffering.
Come on, Celine. Let it all out. And I'm alive. Hey, Trevor, blast it. Yes. Jump for joy, folks. Jesus is here. Absolutely. What's Celine Dion doing on a religious program? The song is beautiful.
If you have any petitions,
play it again, Trevor, until we go off with it.
If you have any petitions, email them to us at listenup1240@aol.com. We'll respond to every petition, and we'll put them in our petitions.
We blew our whole agenda today, Tony.
I'll say that. I'll say.
Oh, we just messed it up big time.
Yeah, you did a great job as the executive
minister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's get alive again, folks. Hey, I want Liz, move your arms. I don't care if you can't dance around. Move your arms. Get going, Liz.
Jesus.
Thank you for healing the three-year-old girl.
Thank you so much.
I'm alive. I may not go home.
And let your uncle sing lessons, Jesus.
Please, please, Jesus, let him take singing lessons. I'll pay. Surrounded by enemies. Surrounded by enemies.
But John, we love you.
Thank you.
It's a heart of mine. Please, you will learn. at a nautical mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.